Begin the current daf, the Sukkah daf Yud. Begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah previous daf introduced the concept of the invalidation of having a Sukkah tachas a Sukkah. If you have one Sukkah underneath another Sukkah, then the lower Sukkah, the bottom Sukkah, is going to be invalid, because as we learned, that it can only be under one Schach, not under two Sukkahs. So now the Gemara asks the following question. The Kamiyehei, and how much of a gap does there have to be between sukkah and sukkah, in other words, between the two different schachs of the two different sukkahs that are being built, one on top of the other, and that the lower one will be possible because of it being a sukkah beneath another sukkah, and that we shouldn't say that it's one sukkah, because essentially, what differentiates it into two different sukkahs? If let's say you have schach and then you put another layer of schach, is that a sukkah tachas sukkah? That would seem not. So what is it that says that we're dividing them into two different areas and saying that the upper one, that schach is its own sukkah, then the one beneath that is going to be another sukkah, hence the lower one is underneath two different sukkahs, and then it'll be invalid. So the Gemara brings three different interpretations for this halacha, and it seems like each one is focusing on a different component of the halacha and defining if this upper area is going to be its own distinct area, hence creating an area which would be a sukkah, and then therefore the lower one will be in its own sukkah and beneath another sukkah, and therefore would be possible because of sukkah tachas sukkah. So Amar Rav Huna says the first pshat. He says tefach. He says that if it's at least a tefach, then we'll consider the upper one as its own area, and then therefore the lower one will be a sukkah tachas a sukkah. But if it's less than a tefach, then we're going to be considering it as one schach. It's just you have a little gap, but when you're putting on schach and you're piling on all the bamboo or whatever it is, if there's a little gap, that doesn't make that upper one into its own sukkah. And then it's going to be kosher. And he says the reason why it's a tefach is shekeim etzinu ba'ali tuma tefach, because we find similar in regards to the concept of tuma, where there if there's an oihel, whatever tuma is in, whatever objects in that area of that same tent, in that canopy, in that covered area, will then contract that same tuma from what that source is that conveys tuma in the oil, is in the dimension of a tefach. And the Gir says, the Mishnah in Olas, that says, tefach al tefach, if you have an area of tefach in the length by the tefach, by the width, beroim tefach, in the height of a tefach, then maybe a satuma, that brings on tuma, which means, say, that halacha that we just mentioned, if anything is in that area, it will contract that tuma. V'chaitzitz b'fnei tuma, and it also is an interposition, it separates. If for any other item that will be in its way, I will shortly explain, if it at least has a height of a tefach and an amma squared of and a tefach squared of its area. Now, and that's halacha l'meshav b'Sinai. Avapachas merim tefach, but if it's less than the height of a tefach, then loy mevi, it will not bring on the tumah of whatever the tumah is, let's say it's a corpse in the oil, and that is if, let's say, we said that you have this oil over here. You have this piece of wood that has the requisite dimensions of being considered an oil, let's say it has a width of a tefach. Under one side of it, there is a source of tumah, and the other side of it is something that could be makabel tumah, let's say kalim. Now, although it's fitting to bring on tumah, in this case, if it doesn't have a height of a tefach, it will not bring on tumah, because since it doesn't have an airspace of a tefach from the ground to where this oil is, that's not going to be valid for considering it as a halacha of oil to bring on tumah. And similarly, b'loy chaitzitz, it will also not be a chatzitza for tumah. Now what that means is, if let's say you have a source of tumah, and directly on top of that, you have a keli in that airspace of where the tumah is, that will go up, even up all the way to the sky, up to Shemayim, because in such a case where you don't have an oil, an airspace of a tefach, separating between where this cover is, let's say this piece of wood, from the source of the tumah, that's called tumah ritzutza, which is like crouching tumah, which then it will go up all the way up to the sky, and therefore it's not going to be chatzitza. But let's say you have a corpse in a coffin, and there's at least a gap of a tefach, then we consider that as an oil, because again, it needs to have an airspace of a tefach, whether to bring tumah or to separate tumah for it to be considered as oil, which is separating from what's on top of that. But if it's not an oil, if it's not at least a tefach, from the corpse to the where the box is, then it's not going to be considered oil to be a separation. Therefore, the tumah goes straight up to the shemayim. So either to bring on the tumah or to be chaytzeh b'fnei tumah, it has to be considered an oil. And oil is only if it has the airspace of a height of at least a tefach. And therefore, the first opinion in the Gemara of Rav Huna is saying that we find that an oil is in the height of a tefach. And the same thing will apply for halachas of sukkah tachas sukkah. only if it has at least a tefach, will we say that then that's another oil on the top? So therefore, the low one is within its own schach, and the schach of another oil on top of that, that will be a psul of sukkah tachasukkah. But less than that, it's not going to be considered an oil. Now, Rav Chizda, Rav Huna Amri, they say a second shot. They say it has to be bigger than the tefach. They say arba. The upper sukkah has to have at least an airspace of four tefachim. So therefore, you have to have a gap of four tefachim between the two schachs for it to be considered a halach of sukkah tachasukkah. And the reason is, they say, because we never find a distinct area for a place to be considered its own domain, whether it to be a rishus hayachad or whether it to be a karmelis that's pachas ma'abad, less than four tefachim, as the Gemara tells in Masechta Shabbos Dam Zayin Amid Aleph. And therefore, the same thing here is also, even if you'll consider it as we find by the halachas of tumah of oil as an oil, however, here we need more than just it being an oil. We need it to be its own domain, because it has to be a sukkah tachas sukkah. A sukkah has to be a domain, which is where a person is a dira. Someone lives there for a Shabbat, for the yom tov sukkah has to be considered a dira, and therefore that's where their opinion is that it's not enough to be a tefach. It would have to be a gap of four tefachim, where that's where we find where that's the minimum dimensions of what a rishus could be. Now, B'Shmuel Amar, he says a third interpretation. He says that asar, he says the largest share. He says it has to be at least a space of 10 tefachim from the schach of the lower sukkah to the schach of the upper sukkah. The Gemara says, my time, B'Shmuel. What's the reason of Shmuel that he requires such a large share? Because kech shira kach psula. The way we validate a sukkah, that's exactly how we're going to be invalidating through the sukkahs. In other words, why are we invalidating the lower sukkah? Because it's underneath two sukkahs. It's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Now, if the upper one doesn't have the requisite measurements to be a kosher sukkah, so therefore it doesn't have the qualifications to be called a sukkah. Hence, it will not invalidate the lower sukkah. And therefore, mahach shir basar, just like to validate a sukkah, requires a height of 10 tefachim. So to invalidate the lower sukkah must be that the upper one will have a height of 10 tefachim for its own schach, and only then will we consider the low one as a sukkah tachas sukkah. So there's three opinions: either tefach, because that we see by the halachas of tumah makes it into an oihel, or we say it's four tefachim, because as we find the halachas of Shabbos, that's what makes something into a rishus, or it's 10 tefachim, where that is the halacha for being a sukkah, and then the low one could be a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Now the Gemara asks on this last opinion of Shmuel. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says on the previous staff, says, Im ein diyurin bel yoyna, he comes to qualify this halacha, this psul of sukkah tachas sukkah. He says, if there are no dwellers in the upper sukkah, then the lower sukkah is going to be valid in spite of the invalidation of sukkah tachas sukkah. Now the Gemara asks, my ein diyurin, what does it mean that there's no dwellers in the upper sukkah? If you would think it literally means, as the words sound like, that there are no dwellers, meaning there's no people in the upper one. Do dwellers of the upper sukkah, are they the factor that disqualifies the lower sukkah? What do you mean? Even if there's no one living there, it's still a sukkah tacha sukkah. It's a halachically valid sukkah. Why would that be a component to make that lower one kosher? Elalav, what we must say is that my endurance, what does it mean that the upper one doesn't have dwellers? It means kosher in a ru'u yiladira. It means to say that it's not qualified to have dwellers. The hechidami, and what would that mean? The loy gevoy asar. It would mean that you can't have dwellers. It doesn't have the qualifications of a kosher sukkah, that it doesn't have a height of a 10 tefachim. Now, mechlal, so that's Rabbi Huda's opinion, the way he's qualifying that halacha and saying that it will be kosher if the upper one doesn't have dwellers, which we're defining as that doesn't have the validity of having dwellers, which means that it's not going to be 10 tefachim. That if it's not 10 tefachim, then it's going to be kosher. Mechlal de Tanakama Sava, but that we can infer the Tanakama, who argues on Rabbi Huda, that they hold obviously that Ava Pisha in the Rula Dira, that even if it's not valid for having dwellers, which means to say even if it's less than 10 tefachim, that Pesula, still the low one will be possible of being a Sukkah Techas a Sukkah. Now that's difficult according to Shmuel from the opinion of the Rabbanan, that according to him, everyone agrees that if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not possible because of sukkah tachas sukkah. Yet here we find that that's only Rabbi Huda's opinion. But obviously the Rabban and Tanakam argue on that and hold that even if there's not ru'i l'diyurin, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it will still be possible because of sukkah tachas sukkah. Either because of one of the two other opinions, either because it's four tefachim, so it's a dira, or because of a tefach, and therefore because it's an oil. So that the Gemara answers that Ki Asr Avdimi Amu, when Avdimi came, he said that Ami Bemarava, they said in Eretz Yisrael that this that Rabbi Huda is saying, that that it's not fit to be a dwelling, it's not as we had assumed that it's regards to the height. Because if that was the case, then you're right, the Tanakhama would agree that it would be kosher, like Shmuel says. Rather, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying was, im ein ha-tachtoinu yechoyla lekabel kar muksasa shel elyoinu, that if the lower sukkah cannot support the pillows and the blankets of the upper sukkah, which means to say that the lower schach, which is the floor of the upper sukkah, is not strong enough to support all the necessities and the utility of the upper sukkah to sleep on the floor of the upper one, which is the schach of the lower one, then hatachtoinik shera, then the lower sukkah is going to be kosher precisely for that reason of Shmuel. Because like he said, kek sher kach psula. What would make a sukkah valid is what will invalidate the lower one. Now, since the upper one is not fit to dwell in it, not because of a height factor, but rather because the lower one will not support it as a floor, and therefore, it's not going to invalidate the lower one because it won't support it, that is what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say. But nothing to do with the height. And then that's the case where we're saying the tachton is going to be ksher. But then the Gemara continues to ask, but okay, fine, so you're saying that's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying, which goes along the lines of Shmuel, nothing to do with height. If it was below the height of 10 tefachim, everyone would agree that it would, the lower one would be possible, because it doesn't have the requisite share of 10 tefachim, it's not going to be sukkah tachas sukkah. But you're saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying a different idea, which is that if it won't support it, so that will be a different factor to invalidate it because of it's not kek shera, so it's not going to be psul. It won't be, quote, a sukkah, tachas a sukkah, because the upper one's not a valid sukkah because you can't live there. It doesn't have a supportive floor. But the Gemara still asks, but machlad the Tanakhama sava. But from the fact that that's what Yehuda is saying, must be the Tanakhama who argues on that he holds, that ava pisha ain't a rule of kabbal, that even though the lower one's not fit to hold up the upper sukkah, which means that its schach should be a floor for the upper one, which is not kechshera, that still they would hold pesula, that's going to be invalidating. And therefore, ultimately, the Gemara is asking, either way you're saying it, from the Rabban's opinion, it's still difficult according to Shmuel, because you see that they don't require kechshera, kach pesula, because even though the upper one will not be kosher in this case, still they will hold, it will invalidate. And therefore, you should say the same thing regarding the height, that even if it has less than the height of 10 tefachim, it should still invalidate the lower one because you don't say kechsher kechpsula, just like they don't say it regarding the supporting of the person's weight on the floor with all his pillows and blankets sleeping there. And therefore, the same thing should be regarding the height. And therefore, it's a question according to Shmuel. And I think my answer is that no, it's not difficult according to Shmuel. Because truthfully, everyone, even Tanakhama, agrees to this factor of Shmuel that it has to be kechsher kechpsula. But it could be nigh, the difference between them was the chayli lekabel al dihatchak, that the lower sukkah could support the upper one, but in under extreme circumstances, and that is like only pushing it, so to speak. So the Rabbanan hold that since it could support it, although not so supportive, but it could be done, so therefore the upper one ultimately does have a shame, a name of sukkah, and therefore the lower one will be invalidated because it's a sukkah tachas a sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Huda holds that since you cannot outright use all the things that you need, you're going to have to be careful and you can't really walk so hard. You can maybe have to measure your pillows and your blankets before you bring them in. Therefore, that will not qualify as a full-fledged sukkah on the upper one. Hence, the low one will not be invalid in that case of being a sukkah, tachas sukkah, because they hold that that will not qualify as kechsher kach psula. But in a sense, the Gemara is answering that everyone agrees to Shmuel. Therefore, it has to have at least a height of 10 tefachim. Now, this that they are arguing that Rabbi Huda is introducing that if it's not ruler de jure, then the low one's going to be kosher, but the Tanakhama is arguing on that, is just because they're arguing on would this fit into the definition of not being kechshera. The Rabban hold it will still be kechshera because even though it's difficult and challenging, you would be able to ultimately sleep in the upper sukkah, hence that will be giving it the name sukkah to invalidate the lower one. But you'd hold that no, since you can't use everything as you would want to, that doesn't qualify as kechshera, and therefore that will not invalidate the low one to be kechshera, kach psula. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the same theme as the previous Mishnah regarding that if a person is not only sleeping in kosher tzchach, which in this case of the Mishnah, there's two different components what the Mishnah will be introducing. The first component the Mishnah tells us is pirusaleh sadem nehachama. If someone spreads a cloth across on top of the tzchach, he spreads across a cloth. And the reason why he does is because the sun, it's too sunny, and therefore he spreads a cloth along the, on top of the tzchach. Oy tachta, or he spreads the cloth right beneath the schach, memnei hanishar, because of the leaves and the branches and the twigs that are falling off from what's on top and they're going to be falling on this table, going to be ruining all this food. So he has that cloth there to catch that. Now, this sadin, the cloth that he's either doing on top because of the sun or right beneath the schach because of the branches and the leaves, is something that's mekabel tumah because it's a kli. And therefore, as we had mentioned before, there are two characteristics of the schach. One of them is that it shouldn't be something that's mekabel tumah. Hence, it's invalid for schach, as the Gemara will also tell us later on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Therefore, these two cases will have the invalidating factor as being pasul schach. Oi, now the Mishnah introduces, although it seems like a similar halacha, a different invalidating factor from a cloth that's being spread out. Oi shepiris al gabi hakinuf. Or, if someone spread out this cloth, not because of the sun, or not because of the twigs that are coming down, he's doing it beneath the schach, but he's only doing it as a decorative purpose, as when on top of people's beds, they would put these canopies. So he's spreading out this cloth on top of the kinuf. Now what a kinuf is that there were many different types of canopies that they had for their beds. The kinuf is one that has four different poles for the four legs of the bed, and they're very hot. Now, from these four different poles, they would have poles connecting the poles, which on top of these poles, they would then put out the sheet over the bed, which was very far from the schach itself, which, as Rashi explains, this third case is different than the first two cases. Because here we're not invalidating one sleeping underneath because of your having schach that's pasul, because it's something that's mekabel tumah, which is what the sadin, the blanket, the sheet is. Rather, here the problem is not because of that, because you're actually not spreading it for schach purposes. It's nowhere near the roof, nowhere near the schach. Rather, here psul is going to be invalid because you're not sitting in the sukkah. Why are you not sitting in the sukkah? Because you have an oihel, a tent, a canopy that's separating from you from the sukkah. So although it's a kosher sukkah, it's a kosher schach, but you're not in the sukkah because you're in a different tent that's within that sukkah. So therefore, the first two cases will be invalid because it has non-kosher schach, and you have to be sitting only in the sukkah that has tilasim ruba chamasa from kosher schach. And there it's part of the schach, you're putting it there either right on top or right beneath. And the third case is possible because you're not in the sukkah itself, you're in an oil that's within the sukkah. However, the Mishnah concludes, Aval peiris hu al gabi naklita mita. But however, a person is allowed to have this canopy on top of the naklite of the bed. Now, what a naklite is, it's different than the previous case we spoke about, because here there's only two poles by the bed. And these poles are in the middle of the bed, one by the head and one by the leg. And they would have poles going, connecting those two different poles on top of the bed. And then they would spread over a cloth, which it would slant, since it was just one pole that was connecting the foot of the leg of the bed and the head of the bed, which would slant on either side of the bed. Now, since there is no roof that has at least a thickness of a tefach, that will not qualify for the definition of an oil. And since it's not an oil, you're not in the oil that's within the sukkah. That means you're only essentially in the area of the sukkah, and that's why that will be kosher. That will not invalidate, again, because with that, this component is not of non-kosher schach, has nothing to do with the schach. Rather, it's are you in the sukkah or not? If it doesn't have a shema oil, you're in the sukkah, not like the previous case. Now the Gemara qualifies the halachas of the Mishnah. So Amar Rav Chisda says, Lo yishanu, we didn't learn this invalidation of the first case of the Mishnah, Ela b'mnehan ishar. When you put the sheet right beneath the schach, that will only be invalid if you're putting up the sheet for the purpose of the leaves and the branches that are falling off. Now, you essentially now made that sheet into a schach. And the reason why it's called schach in that case is because you put it up for protective purposes. Now, that's what the schach is. It's the roof. Hence, that will invalidate because the sheet is something that's a mekabel tumah, which is non-kosher schach. Now you don't have a kosher sukkah because it's not only kosher schach that you have up there. Avlena oisa. But if the reason why you put up this sheet on right beneath the schach was to just beautify the sukkah, then that doesn't have a definition, this sheet as a schach. It's just decorations. Then kosher, then the sukkah is kosher because there's no non-kosher schach. It's not schach. Schach is only something that's a roof that will be there for protective purposes, either from the sun or from some other elements. Now, since it's only decoration, it doesn't have the definition as a roof, as schach. Hence, in such a case, it will be kosher, depending what your intention was when you put it up. Now, the Gemara actually asks on this, Allah Rav Chisda, that pshita is pretty obvious. Our Mishnah said, M'nehan Neshatanan, we learned that if you put it up for catching the leaves and the branches, then it will be invalid. But if not, as Rav Chisda is explaining, of course it will be kosher. What's he introducing that we didn't know from our Mishnah? So now the Gemara answers, I would have thought to say that no, it would be invalid even if you're putting it up just for decorative purposes. And the reason why the Mishnah said if you're putting it up because to catch the leaves, that's orcha de milsa ketanim. That's just because that's what's normative. The Mishnah is just telling you what, when would be such a case, which is because you have all the leaves coming in at that, especially during that season. That's why it said that case. But really, the halacha would apply in all situations that it would still be a schach. Maybe that's not your intention, but it should still be considered connected to the rest of the schach, and hence you have a non-kosher schach that's mekal b'tumah. That should invalidate the schach. Kamash malan. That is what Rav Chizkiah is teaching you, that no. Although it seems like the same case, what, one case you told me it's kosher, one case it's pasul, yeah. Because one, you just gave it a definition as schach, and the other one, where it's l'na'isa, you didn't give a definition as schach, hence you don't have schach pasul. So the Gemara says, actually, let's bring a brisa that supports this halacha, this differentiation and qualifying this halacha of Rav Chizkiah from the following brisa. The brisa says, sichcha kilchasa. If you went and a person put up the proper, appropriate halachic schach, then v'itra, then he decorated the schach, bikramin, which are these decorative weaving type of colored garments, ubisadinin hamtziyarin, or these type of embroidered linens, which have these different images that are sticking out. Vitalaba, and he also hung from the schach, egoizen, nuts, shkedim, almonds, afraskin, peaches, remainin, pomegranates, prachili anovim, clusters of grapes, atari shalshibaylin, and these crowns of grain. Yenish manim besalasais, wine, oil, and fine flour, which they would put into these glass jars, which were hanging for beauty and for decorative purposes of noi sukkah. So the halacha of the Braisa says is also a stopping man. One is not allowed to derive pleasure and utilize these items on sukkahs. And we continue on to the top of Yudim Beis. Ad matzah yom tov acher shel chag, until after the last day of the yom tov of sukkahs, because they become muktzah to the mitzvah of sukkah. If he made a condition, a precondition before the Yom Tov the Sukkos, then everything goes according to his condition. So for example, if let's say the entire Bein HaShemashes of the beginning of the Yom Tov the Sukkos, by that twilight, he says, I don't want to separate from deriving pleasure from these items throughout this entire Bein HaShemashes, then the sanctity of the Mitzvah Sukkah never gets acquired on these items because he's not designating them as Muktzah, as part of the Mitzvah. Then he's allowed to go ahead and use it on sukkahs, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Bei on Daf Lamed Beis. However, any other condition would not help. If you say that, yes, I want this to be part of Noy Sukkah, but on Chol HaMoed I want to be able to use it, that won't work, because Bein HaShemashes is where it gets ready the Kedushin, you can't undo that. Now, however, one thing that the Gemara is bringing this for, to support Rav Chizkiah, is we see that one of the cases of the Noy Sukkah, which is saying that it's a kosher sukkah, is when you have these sardinin, when you have these sheets, which are being spread linoy for beauty, for decorative purposes, which will not invalidate the sukkah. That seems to support Rav Chizkiah. The Gemara says, no. Dilma menatzad. Maybe the case that the Brais is talking about is that you didn't hang up these sheets on the sukkah, on the schach, on the roof, but rather when you put them up on the walls. But if you did hang them up on the walls, maybe even if it was done for decorative purposes, maybe that would still be considered as having a schach that's mekabel tumah. And therefore, since it would be considered schach, it would be schach pasul, and then it would invalidate the sukkah. It's just talking about that you hung up the curtains on the wall, and it's just talking about the halacha of noy sukkah, that's also to have enough from it, but not necessarily would you see like Rav Chizkiah that you're allowed to put it up near the schach area. Now, related to this halacha, the Gemara continues, Idma, we learned, noye sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah, for example, these decorative sheets that they would hang up for beauty, emimaitin besukkah, they do not diminish from the height of the sukkah. So for example, if let's say you have a sukkah that's 20 amos higher from the ground. Now, that's too high if it's above 20 amos, so you want to diminish the height. So if one would add on schach, for example, lower down than where the 20 amos is, so that would lower the height of the schach, so that would make it into a kosher sukkah. But here, if one would have the sheets underneath, which we said is okay because you're doing it l'na'isa as noy sukkah, which is not an invalidating factor, only if you're doing it for schach. So here, now that the sheets are beneath the schach, now from the floor to that sheet is not 20 amos, that will not be machshir and make kosher that sukkah, because that sheet is not a type of schach. Because it's to the contrary, actually, if it was schach, then the sukkah would be possible because it's something that's mekabel tumah. And the same thing works in the other way. If let's say you have a sukkah that's just above the minimum height of 10 tefachim, and now the sheets that are hanging from the top make it beneath 10 tefachim, that will not invalidate the sukkah. Again, because you don't have the schach that's beneath 10 tefachim, you have just the sheets, and the sheets are just part of whatever you have in the sukkah, which is l'noi sukkah, just like your table, that would not invalidate the height of 10 tefachim. Now, Amar Rav Ashi, however, Rav Ashi says, umin hatzad b'maitin. But if you have these sheets on the side of the wall, and you have it on the walls on the side, that would diminish the minimum shear of the area of a sukkah, which is a little bit more than 7 tefachim, because that shear comes from the idea that you have to be able to contain the person's head, the majority of his body, and the table. Now, even though it's not the walls that are small, it's just the sheets that you're decorating, the interior from it with, are diminishing that airspace, but ultimately you will not have room for your head, the majority of your body, and the table. Therefore, that would diminish it and would disqualify the sukkah. Now, the Gemara actually brings a story related to this, that regarding the noy sukkah and the sheets in particular that were put on top of the schach. So, Minyamin Avdid Rav Ashi, Minyamin who is the servant of Rav Ashi, it mishal le kitunt b'maya. His garment, his cloak, his shirt basically got soaked in water. V'ashtatcha amatalalta, and he spread it out on top of the sukkah, on top of the schach, to have it dry out. So only Rav Ashi told him, Dalia, take it off. It's marasai, and the people shouldn't say that look at these people, they're using things that are mekabel tuma, which again is similar to this case that we're talking about, of the sadinin, of the sheets. You have it on top, people are going to think that we're making a schach out of something that's mekabel tuma, which a garment is a kli, so it's mekabel tuma, and we know that's possible. You cannot use such a thing as a schach. So his evid answered him, but v'hakachazi le deretiva, what everybody sees, that it's wet, and therefore it's pretty obvious that we're not using it for schach, I'm just putting it up there to dry out. So on that he told him, l'chiyav shekamin alach, what I told you was that when it dries out, then you should take it off, because then it's going to be marasai. And you're right, now that it's wet, you can leave it there, there's no one's going to think that we're using this as schach, but once it's dry, people are going to say, what's going on over here? It looks like they're using these garments, these cloaks, to then go ahead and use it as schach, but that's not kosher, as we said, that so although we might qualify sadinin beneath because of noy sukkah, but he was concerned about having it up on top because it might seem like actually that they're using it for the schach. Related to this, regarding, again, putting up these noy sukkah, which are these sheets that they would put up beneath the schach, so the Gemara brings the following machloikis. Itma, we learned. Noy sukkah, the decorations of the sukkah, again, these sheets which are spread out underneath the schach for decorative purposes, Hamuflogin mimena arba, which are more than four tefachim away from the schach. And that is, up until now we explained that although that one would be considered sleeping in an oil, which was the third case of our Mishnah, of one's, the canopy of one's bed, now one would wonder that why wouldn't the same thing be for the schach when you have the sadinin, that why, although that's lenoi, and therefore it's not going to be considered schach possible, but ultimately you're not in the oihel of the schach, you're in the oil of the sheets. And the reason for that is that since it's part of, it's connected to the schach, so we don't deem it as its own area, as its own oil, as we say regarding the bed. But now, the Gemara introduces a different case. Let's say those sheets are more than four tefachim away from the schach. Then we have a machloikis. Rav Nachman Amar Ksheri says that's kosher. Rav Chizr, Rabbi Rav Hunami Psula, this is going to be invalid. And here, it's not the same as the case before when you just have for decorative purposes right beneath, touching almost the schach, because here it's considered its own oil that's separating, and therefore you're not sleeping in the sukkah, but rather you're sleeping in the oil of those sheets. Now, however, according to Rav Nachman, he holds that since ultimately you put it up there for no yisukkah as decorative purposes, so it's still going to be batel. What's it? It's decorating what? Decorating the schach. Hence, it's not its own entity as an oil. So even though it's more than four tefachim, which is a significant area, makom chashiv, still will consider it as batel to the schach, and therefore he holds it's going to be kashiv. So the Gemara brings a story between the two parties of this machlekes. Again, Rav Nachman held it was kosher. Chizr Rabbi Avuna held that it was possible. So it happened that Rav Chizda Rabbi Rav Huna iklo lebei Resh Galusa. They went to visit the Resh Galusa on the Yom Tov Sukkos. Now Agnina Rav Nachman gave them the living quarters to sleep in. Now Rav Nachman was the Av Bezdin. He was in charge of whatever was going on in the house of the Resh Galusa, who was in charge of all the people in Gullis, in Bavel, that whatever they would do would be based on the Pesach of Rav Nachman. So Rabbi Nachman, according to his psak, that he held that it was okay by having the sheet even more than four tvachim away from the schach, he put these two Talmid Chacham to sleep in besukah shenoyeha miflogin mimena arba tvachim, in such a sukkah that the noyeh sukkah, the sheet, was actually more than the distance of four tvachim from the schach, not like how those two Amorim held. Now, ishtiku v'lo imalei midir, they were quiet, and they didn't say anything, they actually went to that sukkah. So Amalehu, so he told them, well, what do you mean? You're not putting up a fight? Did you retract your learning, your teachings that you argued on me and you held such a sukkah as possible? How are you going and acquiescing and going to such a sukkah? So they told him, Anan shluchim mitzvah anan. We are what's called mitzvah messengers. And that is, we're on a mission of a mitzvah, which is we're involved in the different mitzvah of receiving the face of the Resh Galusa, which is a mitzvah on every Yom Tov, which is called to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbah B'Regel. You're supposed to go ahead and visit your teacher on Yom Tov. And therefore, Upatur Min HaSukkah, actually, we're exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. As the Mishnah later on, Daf Chafei Man Aleph, will explain that Shluchi Mitzvah are Pater from the Sukkah. And therefore, yeah, right, we hold it as a Pasul Sukkah. But it's not a problem because we're anyways exempt because we're involved. We're already engaged in a different mitzvah of being considered as Shluchi Mitzvah. Now the Gemara returns to the topic of our Mishnah, which was from the second half of sleeping within the canopy of a bed in different cases that will invalidate, will be considered its own oil that's mafsik of sitting in the area of a sukkah, and cases that are not. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol. He says, Muta lishan bikila, one is allowed to sleep in a canopy, which is this basically a sheet that's spread over the bed, bisukkah in the sukkah, afa pishiyesh lagag. Even though it has a roof, in other words, and it's not even like the case of the Mishnah of Naklitin, where we said that there's no roof, where it's just slanted, it's like a triangle. Rather, even if it's flat, like the case of Kinaifis, which we said in the Mishnah it will invalidate because you're sleeping in the oil, not in the sukkah. So when is Shmuel saying that that would be kosher, even though in the Mishnah it sounds like it's not? Vahu she'en the gevoy asar, as long as there's not a height of 10 tefachim from the bed to that canopy, because less than 10 tefachim is not considered as an oil. So therefore, it's just like a much higher, let's say, blanket that you're using. So since it's not 10 tefachim, it's not an oil, and therefore even such a case would be kosher to sleep with such a canopy in the sukkah. Now, however, the Gemara asks from different sources on this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol. Toshma, come on here from a braisa. Braisa says, Hayoshan bikila b'sukkah. If someone is sleeping in a canopy in the sukkah, lo yotzu dechavasa, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Not like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol. So the Gemara says, Hachamai Skinner, what's the case of that Braisa Toma? Kishikvaya Asara, when the canopy is a height of 10 tefachim from the bed, so that gives it its own distinct area of an oil, and that's well invalidated. But less than that, which is what Shmuel was talking about, it would be kosher. Similarly, Mesve, the Gemara asks from a Mishnah on the Chafam Abbeis, that says, Hayashan Tach Samit Besukkah, if someone sleeps underneath a bed that's in a sukkah, Lo Yotze Dechavasa, he has not fulfilled his obligation, so therefore we see, which a canopy is basically the same thing as sleeping underneath a bed, that it would invalidate. So again, the Gemara says, HaTirgim HaShmuel, Shmuel interpreted that case of that Mishnah, B'mita Gevoyasa, a bed that's higher than 10 tefachim from the ground, that is considered distinct theory that Shmuel would agree that yes, of course, that would be considered oil. But Shmuel is talking about if it's less than 10 tefachim, and that would be kosher. Tashema. Now the Gemara brings a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Eishepiris al-gabi kinoifis, or if you spread out this sheet on top of the kinoifis, which we explained, that's if there's four corners, four poles, which then the sheet that's on top is a flat roof, a flat canopy on top of the bed, psula, it will invalidate it. So you see that such halacha would invalidate from the bed to the thing as if you were sleeping in the oil, not in the sukkah. So how does Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol say it's kosher? So again, the Gemara says, Hasem Nami, the Gviasar, the case of our Mishnah is talking about that there's a distance of 10 tefachim from the bed to the canopy on top. And therefore, since it has a gag, it has a width of more than a tefach, because it's actually the width of what the bed is, then it will be invalid. But Shmuel's talking about that it's when it's less than 10 tefachim. However, the Gemara concludes, however, we did not learn in a braisa, which explains the halach of our Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol, which seems to indicate not that it's even, our Mishnah was invalidating, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. Because the time we learned the braisa, that the braisa qualifies what are these definitions that our Mishnah is talking about of naklitin and kinoifis, that naklitin is kosher, kinoifis, that type of canopy is possible. So the braisa explains that, as we had already alluded to this before, that naklitin is shnayim. That naklitin, as we explained before, is when you have these two poles that are in the middle of the bed, which is one by the head of the bed and one by the leg of the bed, and therefore we said that that would be kosher. The kineifis arba, that was when there's four poles on the four corners of the bed. So therefore, piris agabi kineifis psula. If one will hang the sheet by the kineifis, that will be invalid because that will be having a roof that's a tefach. Agama naklitin kshera. By the naklitin, we said that's going to be kasha again because you have no roof. They're just slanting. Hence, there's no oil because to be an oil, it has to have a roof. Now, the brisa qualifies. But although we're saying that it's kasher, and that's what the halacha of our mission is saying, the case of naklitin will be kasher, that's only if it doesn't have a height of 10 tefachim. Now, that's even in the case of when it doesn't have the roof. Now, the Gemara says to ask on Shmuel, Mechlal, the kineifis, so we can infer that the case of kineifis, which is pasul, is afa pisha en gvayin asar, must be that even when it's not 10 tefachim high, because even the case that is kasher is only kasher when it's not 10 tefachim high. So we're contrasting the two. We're saying that one is kasher, one is pasul. So we're saying that even the one that's kasher is when it's not 10 tefachim high, must be the one that's pasul is also, even when it's not 10 tefachim high, that it will still be considered an oil and that you're in this oil, not in the sukkah. Now, that's not like Shmuel, who he said that the case of our Mishnah must be talking about that it is 10 tefachim high, and that's why it's pasul, because he holds if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's not an oil, and you could sleep in that in the sukkah. So that the Gemara says, no, it's not difficult according to Shmuel. Shani kinoifis de kvi. That's not the case that Shmuel was talking about. He was talking about a kila, a certain type of canopy. Now, it sounds like almost the same as kinoifis, but it's not. Kinoifis is more permanent. Therefore, there, it would be considered a chashava oil to be mafsik and say that you're in this oil of the canopy, not in the sukkah, even if it's less than 10 tefachim. But the case of the kila canopy, where it's not so permanent and strong as the kinoifis, therefore, although that there is some type of a roof, but since if it's not 10 tefachim high, that would not be chashav enough, and therefore it would be kasher. So there's many different types of cases. There's the triangular canopy, which has no roof, that has its own halacha, where if it's less than 10 tefachim, it's going to be kasher. If it's higher than 10 tefachim, even that case won't be kasher. Then you have the other case of kinoifis, where even if it's less than tefachim, 10 tefachim, it's going to be pasul. However, that's because it has certain permanence. The case of Shmuel is somewhere in between, where if it's going to be less than 10 tefachim, it will be kasher, but higher than 10 tefachim, it will be pasul again, more similar to the case of the naklitin. Now, the Gemara asks, however, v'arisukah al gabi sukkah de kviyah, but regarding a case of which was on the mission of the previous staff, when you have a sukkah on top of a sukkah where that's permanence, obviously we're talking about it's a sukkah, it was built with permanence, yet v'amar Shmuel, still Shmuel says that we had been explaining the halachas of the previous Mishnah, kech shera kach psula. He said, again, we're talking about that things that are interposing from the sukkah that you want to be sitting in. There's considered different levels. He said that just like to qualify a sukkah requires 10 tefachim, to invalidate a sukkah requires also 10 tefachim. Hence, you see that he requires an area to be considered a chashava area to invalidate that you're not sitting just in the kosher schach, but you're sitting in something else, only even by something that has a kfiyas, by a permanence like a sukkah, if it has 10 tefachim. Now, that's not like the way we just answered right now to resolve Shmuel's opinion from the case of the Mishnah of kineifis, where he seems to say that kineifis will be invalidating even if it's less than 10 tefachim because it's kfi. But why is that any different than the case of sukkah, which is also kviyi, and still it only will invalidate if it has at least a height of 10 tefachim? So the Gemara says, Amri Hasam, over there, de la mifsel sukkah, where you're coming to invalidate a sukkah because of it being a sukkah, tachas a sukkah, that will only be invalid by asar if it has a height of 10 tefachim, which was based on the principle of kech shera, kech pesula. In other words, because that's for a different reason, because as long as the upper one is not called, quote, a sukkah, which means to have the qualifications of 10 tefachim high, then it cannot invalidate the lower one because it won't be a sukkah, tachas ha sukkah, until it has 10 tefachim. But hacha de l'shavi oy hala. Here, we don't need to have a definition of a sukkah on something. We just need to be considering the lower thing, in this case the canopy, as an oil, that you shouldn't sleep underneath that, but rather, what we're talking about is you're not actually defining the sukkah in this case. We're just saying that if one is in the bed, underneath that canopy, he can't sleep there, because he's going to be in an oil, but the rest of the sukkah is going to be kasher. You're not defining this sukkah. To define the sukkah needs 10 tefachim. But to say that if you're in an oil, that's batzim asar nami haba oyala. Even less than 10 tefachim, you're still going to be in an oil And at least if it's kvius, as we said, and that's why it's not difficult according to Shmuel, because Shmuel's case was did not have a kvius. Hence, if it's less than 10 tefachim, it will be kasher. But if something has a kvius, like the case of kenaifis, and that will all that is saying it's not defining the sukkah. To make definitions in sukkah, you have to have a height of 10 tefachim. Therefore, in the case of the bed, that what we're talking about here, that even if it's less than 10 tefachim, we'll just say that you can't sleep in the bed area because you're in an oil. And that is even less than 10 tefachim if it has a kvias. The case of sukkah tachas sukkah was to give a definition of a sukkah that needs a height of 10 tefachim even if it has a kvias. Now, related to this halacha of sleeping in the kila, in the canopy, so similar to, related to this, the Amar of Tachlivi Bavimi Omar Shmuel, again the name of Shmuel, Hayashin Bekila, if someone is sleeping in the canopy, or sleeping naked. Now, if he wants to say Dvam Shebekdusha, one has to be dressed. He cannot say halacha. You cannot say Krishma in front of a Diva Erva. So, Maitzi Roshi Chutz Lekila, he could stick his head out of the area of the canopy, Vakari Krishma, and then he could say Krishma. And the reason is, because since we just explained that it will not be considered an oil, so therefore, and that was Shmuel's halacha, where Shmuel said regarding this kilo, which does not have permanence, less than 10 tefachim, it's not going to be considered an oil. Now, this has ramifications in a different direction of halacha, where if a person is in a certain area, if he's in a certain tent, a certain room, then even if he sticks his head out, we say that the majority of his body defines where he really is. And even if he's sticking his head out, it wouldn't help. He would still be considered naked, making a bracha, saying Krishma of that area because you're considered that the majority of your body defines where you actually are. But in this case, that this will not be a problem for Lo Yirah B'cha Erves Davar because that the canopy is not considered as an oil, as a room. Rather, it would be considered almost like a blanket. Just, it's not right on top of your flesh. But as long as less than 10 tefachim, we don't see it as its own oil. So it's like sticking your head out of your shirt, and hence, you could make a bracha, because everyone is naked underneath their clothing, but their clothing separates their head from their body, and therefore you're not having your rabucha erves davar. Here too, since it's not an oil, less than 10 tefachim, we see it more like as a garment, as a blanket, and although it's not right on top of you, but nothing doesn't have to actually be touching your skin if you would have that. Therefore, one could stick his head out and say Krishma. Now, Mesvi, the Gemara asks from a Braisa that says, Hayosha Mekila Armor, if someone's sleeping naked in a canopy, Lo Yoitzi Roisha Chutz Lekila Vikra Krishma, he's not allowed to. Exactly, not like the Halacha of Shmuel. He cannot stick his head out of the canopy and say Krishma. So here the Gemara says, Hachamay Skin, and similarly as we had been having in the discussion before regarding the Halacha of Sukkah, are Kishagva Yasar, where the height of the canopy is 10 tefachim. And therefore, as we explained, that would give it a definition of oil, which regards to the Halacha of Sukkah would say that you're not in the Sukkah. Here, for the halachas of reciting a Dvam Shebekdusha, would say that means that you're basically in an area where even if you stick your head out, that's not considered a garment, but rather as a room. Hence, sticking your head out will not help. We still see you as naked, and therefore you cannot say Krishma just by sticking your head out. Now, the Gemara says, Hachana Mestaba. Actually, the way we're interpreting that Braisa makes sense that it's based on that because it didn't have a height, that there it's possible because it had a height of 10 tefachim. Because Megtani Sefer, from the fact that the Sefer defined this halacha by saying Holamaza Doimu, what could this halacha be compared to where we're saying that you can't just stick your head out to say the Krishma? La'imid bebayis arm, to someone that's standing in a house that's naked, where the halacha we know is Shlo Yitzi Reisha Chutz Lachaloin Vika Krishma, he can't just stick his head out of the window and say Krishma. And that's what the bright in there is comparing to the case of the canopy. So Shema Mino, obviously we can infer from there that it's Toma that has a height of 10 tefachim, which is its own oil, its own area, and that's why it's going to be invalid, because that's what's comparing it to a house, which is the same idea. You're in a certain area, that a house is obviously not like a garment, but if it's less than 10 tefachim, then the Braisa would agree to Shmuel's halacha that one would be able to just stick his head out, because again, that would not be considered an oil. Now, however, the Gemara just concludes this discussion on the top of Yud Alfam and Aleph that different. This is not necessarily related to what we had been saying, but although we just compared in the Braisa a house to a kila, a house to a canopy, that however, if the house is not 10 tefachim high, we would not say the same halacha that Shmuel was saying regarding the canopy that you could just stick your head out of the window. And that is Ubayis, the Gemara says, Nami, afapish en gevoya asara, even if it's not a height of 10 tefachim, but kivin de kviya, there's a certain permanence to a house. Again, as we said, that there's a difference between Kinaifis and Kila, although Shmuel was saying, again, with two areas of halacha, for Sukkah and for Dvarim Shebekdusha, but saying Krishma, that less than 10 Tfachim is not going to be considered an oil. Hence, that's how he was resolving it with the Braisa, although the Braisa is comparing this case with the Bias, that it will be possible, but that's if it's more than 10 Tfachim. Less than 10 Tfachim would be Kasher, but that's only by the case of the Kila, not by the case of the Bias. As the Gemara says, because since there's permanence to a house, oil, it would be considered an oil even less than 10 tfachim to lagar mikinaifis, because that's not any worse than kinaifis, as we explained before, that even Shmuel would agree, as our Mishnah tells us, that if one is sleeping in a bed that has a canopy with four, that has a flat roof right over his bed with four sticks, where our Mishnah is clear, the way a Braisa elucidates it, is even less than 10 tfachim, it's going to be considered that you're not in the sukkah, but rather in that oil, because since it has permanence, even the possible, even less than 10 tfachim, the same thing would apply to the house, that even less than 10 tfachim, it would still be considered as an oil. Hence, it wouldn't help by sticking your head out the window, because you're not considered sticking your head out of your garments, but rather as if you're in the oil, where since the majority of your body is naked, hence your body, your head, even though it's sticking out of that area, would also be considered naked, and therefore it would be a problem of la yirabcha erbestava, and you would not be able to say kriyishma that way.